Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're going to start a new series today called Holy Habits. And it's not one of those that you're going to come and go, wow, that was the funniest message pastor's ever preached. And I walked out and felt ecclesiastical new dads go up and down my spine and gospel goose pimples popped out everywhere. Like, I felt Jesus. This is really a series to launch into the new year saying, you know, are we ready to take big steps as a church and say, you know, let's dream again like people 80 years ago who pulled their resources together and built their first building and then sent it down to Nanana, and then they built this building on Airport Way, and then they built this addition we're sitting in. You don't build buildings just because people come to church. You build buildings because good, big people are there who say, God, what do you dream of me to be a part of in my city? Years to come. And so let's be in prayer for our future. Here's the big question for you today. If you're taking notes, it's not on your worship guide, but here's the big question. Are you ready? Are you ready for 2020? Are you ready for all that God has? I'm not sure if I'm ready. On the 2nd of January, I picked up my daughter's boyfriend from the airport, and he surprised her by asking her the big question, will you marry me? And I wasn't ready for that. I don't know if there's a dad in here that has a daughter that's ever been ready to hear that. As I sprung leaks out of both my eyes, and momentarily between now and then, I've had other times where I've thought, snap, I'm not old enough for that. How'd this happen? I said she couldn't date till she's 32, and she disobeyed me. But there's some new things, you know, in my life and in our family. What about you? What is God? Are you ready? And so I want to look at Isaiah chapter 6. It's a powerful section of history, a section in the scriptures. And what I love about it, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it's not on your notes, but let me read it for you. It's on the screen here. It's the Sky Bible, as our youth pastor calls it. In the year, say year. Isaiah could point back to a year. There was a defining year in his life. He could point back to, it doesn't say, in this day, King Uzziah, it was the year, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, that's angels, each with six wings, with two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they were flying. How do you fly when you cover your eyes? I don't ask that. But they covered their eyes and they were still flying. Doesn't matter. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth, the whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorsteps and the threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. How many would like to be in a worship service where the doors of this church begin to shake because the angelic movement's happening? It says in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He saw the Lord like he's never seen the Lord. You know what my prayer for us as a church is this year? And my prayer for you is this would be a year you would see Jesus like you've never seen Jesus. And here's what I know. To see God like you've never seen God, you have to see God like you've never seen God. Now, I know that's simple but profound. My prayer is, God, as a church, would we see you like we've never seen you before? And if that happens, Isaiah talks about being in this environment where he saw God and he saw the worship and he saw what was going on, the atmosphere of worship. And then he says this, woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Now let me warn you something. Let me warn, if you see God like you've never seen God, you'll see yourself like you've never seen yourself. When Isaiah saw God like he'd never seen God, it was a year that so transformed his life, he saw himself like he'd never seen himself. And I don't know about you, anyone here want 2020 to be a year that you see God like you've never seen God, but you also see yourself like you've never seen yourself? And here's the deal. When you see God for who he really is, you see yourself for who you really are. And how do you know we're all far from God? In fact, an educated assumption. The closer I get to God, the farther I feel like I'm from God. The closer I get to him, the more I feel like I'm not like him, but I want to be like him. Says, your king Uzziah died. He saw God. He cried, I'm ruined from a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the king, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seers flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken for the tongs of the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lip. Your guilt is gone. It's taken away. Your sins atoned for. How many of you guys are glad that God has taken our sins away from us? He's atoned us. And then it says this. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Now I'm going to unpack this a little bit more in a moment. But here's the reality. When you see God like you've never seen God, and I pray that's your prayer in 2020. You'll see yourself like you've never seen yourself. And then you'll find yourself saying yes to things you maybe never saw yourself saying yes to before. It's going to be the voice of the Almighty God. How many want to hear God like you've never heard God? See, if you see God, you see yourself in the right perspective, you'll start to hear God like you've never heard God, and he might ask you to do some stuff. And I hope that 2020 is a year you say, I volunteer. Yeah, I'll give in the offering plate, but God, I'll hop in the offering plate. I offer myself to you, God. I will become all you want me to become. Now again, I told the staff this morning, my mantra for the year is let's grow big people. As a church, let's grow. And the call of the church, what's the church's purpose? And it's to fulfill the Great Commission mandate. But Matthew, this is on your, Matthew chapter 28, it's on your notes here. It says, then the Lord came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission mandate is our calling. That's why we exist as a church. Go into all the world and what? Make disciples. I forgot to announce this, but it goes along with this. Our legacy offering for 2019. You want to hear what it was? It's about $213 shy of $88,000. Give it up, church, for yourself. That's 2020 missions projects already paid for. We have the cash in the bank to make sure we build a church in Kenya. We help build a church in Calcutta, India. We invest in Find Out Pregnancy Center here. And we're able to start investing in a greater capacity in villages as we do ministry this year. $88,000. Just, you guys are incredible. But why? It's going to all the world. Make disciples. Now that word, here's an interesting word. We have this word in the church called discipleship. That word's not even found in the Bible. We find the word disciple in the Bible. Go make disciples. A disciple is a Christ follower or the student of a teacher. And so discipleship, though, or the word go make disciples means we have to go and continue to reach people far from Jesus. Then we do what we call the perfecting part. You baptize them and you teach them to obey everything you command. So it's twofold. It's go and make, and then it's the perfecting side of things. Today I want to talk about that perfecting side. How do we become more like Jesus? We do a lot of evangelism, and we need to, and we'll continue to. In fact, I think true disciples go make more true disciples. C.S. Lewis said this, though. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ. Nothing less. Literally, to make them little Christs. Christian means little Christ. If they are not doing that, or if the church is not doing that, all cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself is simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. God became man so other people could become and look like Jesus. How many know that's the task of the church? And so I want to look at five things. An interesting study, Lifeway Research, is probably the largest Christian, they study churches. And they did this massive study a few years ago, 2018. And they studied 2,000 mature Christian leaders, pastors, and 4,000 churches. And they asked them these questions about discipleship here in the States and around the globe. And they came up with these five truths about discipleship as they researched. In other words, why are people growing? Why are they not growing? What's effective with discipleship and growing as a disciple? And here's five things. Number one, write this down. It's in your notes. Discipleship is intentional. It's intentional. It doesn't happen passively. I mean, how many of you guys went to bed last night and said, Lord, I'd like to wake up after losing 5 pounds tomorrow? It'd be great if that was the case, isn't it? But I'll tell you right now, losing weight's not passive. College students are on break right now, but college students, how many of you guys have ever taken tests? Oh, Lord, help me, but you never studied. How can you get ahead if you don't put some in your head? But the reality is discipleship, it's not passive. It would be great if it was passive, because then we could just kind of come to church and sit in pews and just like, oh, by osmosis, pick it up. But friends, discipleship is intentional. It's deliberate. It's on purpose. It's by design. The only place, and my dad used to say this all the time, the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. You got to be intentional. Be deliberate. I say this at every wedding. Destiny is not a matter of chance, but of choice. What choices? How intentionally will you decide to grow as a big Jesus person this year? What are you intentionally going to do differently? If you don't like some of the habits or patterns, what are you going to change? It's not going to happen because someone else does it for you. It's going to happen because you take the step yourself. In fact, from this study, they say those who are maturing desire to mature. They engage in discipleship opportunities and seek Christ in their daily lives. That's the study. They said, hey, you don't grow by accident. You grow on purpose. So my question for you this year is that, could this be a year you see God like you've never seen God? It will be if you choose to be intentional. You choose to be deliberate. Which is why I would encourage you, let's grow in prayer. Secondly, is what they read, all this research, reading the Bible matters more than anything else. Reading the Bible matters more than anything else. From this study, they said reading the Bible is the number one predictor of spiritual growth. Bottom line, those who read the Bible grow. Remember that song we sang as kids? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, and you'll... Yes, yeah, I won't keep singing it because I was already off key. This is the concerning part of that research, though. 87% of Christians surveyed say they want to be a disciple, but only 19% of them read their Bible daily. Now if there was like a secret sauce to wealth, and it was one simple thing, how many of you guys would probably do it? Okay, I'm the only guy that raised my hand. If there's a secret sauce to heaven, you know. But if there's a secret to spiritual growth, and it's proven. In fact, I forget the statistic, but we were at a seminar the other day as a staff here in town. I think it's 86% of those who struggle with pornography, if they read their Bible every day, it's 86% chance they're not going to relapse like everyone else. Just the involvement of the Word of God. So my question is this. If reading the Bible is the Holy Ghost detergent for the mind. I heard in Bible college, someone said, prayer is the peanut butter that makes the Word of God stick to a man's ribs. So spiritual, but the problem I think is this. We have all these support groups for eating disorders and different things like that, but the church should have support groups for eating disorders. It's called spiritual anorexia. An aversion to the Word of God and the food the Word of God provides. Or we have spiritual bulimics. We purge and listen to podcasts and all this stuff, but we walk out and we don't do anything it says. I'll tell you, the secret, according to this research, is just read your Bible every day. Give me this day my daily bread. Daily bread for daily needs. I want to challenge you. Now here's the good news. On our iPhone app, True North iPhone app, if you've downloaded that, we added this year a Bible reading program or plan. If you click on the Bible reading plan, it comes up. You can push a play button, and you can listen to the scriptures. They'll read it to you. Or you can read it yourself. Or download the YouVersion app, which I have, and I'm on the Read Through the Bible 2020 plan. And why? Because I need the Word of God in my life, because the greatest catalyst to spiritual growth is reading the Bible. So why do you think we don't read the Bible? Because the devil loves to distract us from what is going to help us grow the most. The third truth they found was the discipline of Bible engagement affects and impacts every other discipline. So in other words, the greatest enhancer of spiritual discipline in our life is reading the Bible. From their study, they say this: some spiritual disciplines do not impact all others. For example, some who serve may not be generous in giving, but engagement in God's Word impacts every other discipline. Someone who lets the Word of God dwell in them grows in all areas, such as generosity, service, sharing the faith, confessing sin, praying. What am I saying? Friends, if you want to find the one thing that will help you grow more than anything else spiritually, get in the book. 7 days without God's Word makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. Got to get a Word. The fourth truth they found is involvement in groups matter a lot. Now, that's not a shameless plug for life groups, but here's the deal. We've made discipleship about content. Friends, the Hebrew model of discipleship was in the context of relationships. Paul told Timothy, the things you heard me share in the presence of many witnesses and trust to other people. There's the context. We need each other. The devil would like to make us feel like we don't fit in, that we should just kind of be by ourselves. I like being by myself. I grow by myself, Pastor. I'm an introvert. And it pushes against the grain. But what they found, and this is what they said, those who study in some small group, whether it's class or life group, are much more likely to display markers of spiritual growth than those not in a group. We learn in rows, we grow in circles here. And so I want to encourage you, we launch our life groups at the end of this month and begin to think about that. Number five, the fifth truth is number five, there's a deep connection between discipleship and evangelism. In other words, disciples share the gospel. Those who are growing in Christ tell others about him. Those who are not growing in their faith are much less likely to articulate the good news to their friends. This year, as we enter into a new year, and if our membership chooses on the 14th, one of our encounter nights, we'll have prayer, we'll have a business meeting, and we're going to pray over the results of that business meeting and believe in God for the future. But this is the big idea of where we're at, is if we're people who live on mission and reach the people that we know for Jesus around us, and then we become corporately a people of faith to say, God, what's your vision for our city? Then we're going to have a place with some more space, because if we are telling people about the Jesus that's impacted our life, which disciples do, that's why we have 5 services, and we're kind of hoping, there's a part of us going, God, We're not sure if we're up for 6. How's that? If I'm vulnerable. But disciples share faith. Now I want to go back to Isaiah with the first scripture I read. 3 calls from the passage of scripture I read. 3 calls from Isaiah. Number 1, the call to worship. If you want to see Jesus like you've never seen Jesus, you want to see God like you've never seen God, you have to, there's a call to worship. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a high throne, exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and they were worshiping. And friends, worship's not music. In fact, you can worship without music, and you can have music without worship. The church has made worship about the style of music, but friends, worship is a lifestyle. Worship literally is translated showing God his worth. It's worth-ship. It's literally giving God the worth he is. We have a puppy named Kobuk, and I could do anything to Kobuk, and Kobuk still likes me. He's a puppy, though, you know, and I mean, he runs in, he tries to lick my face, he wants to jump up on me, and you know, one of the words for worship, there's different Greek words for worship, we should study it sometime, but one of the words for worship is to lick the hand of the master like a dog. Worship is giving God his word. It's like, God, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait till I come home from work. You know, how many guys have dogs and they can't wait till you come home from work? And you can kick them before you go to work because they pooped in somewhere that you didn't want, you stepped in there, whatever. But that you come home from work and they're crazy. We need to be people who give God his worth through our worship. So let's be honest. What are some of the things in our life that we've given it more worth-ship than we give God worth-ship? You can look at your bank statement. Where's your spending go? Where's your giving go? What you spend your money on? Look at your calendar. Where do you spend your time? How much involvement on social media? What is it that you emphasize? Because that's what you worship. That's what you give time to. And in 2020, let's put God first at True North Church. Here's the key truth. Putting God first in your life is the beginning of worship. Luke said this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And that's worship. And the second call Isaiah has is the call to holiness. This is a popular word to preach at in church, holiness. Separation. But Isaiah said he saw God. He saw the train of the road fill the temple. He saw the angelic movement in heaven. He saw that. He saw when the angels spoke, the doorstep shook. And he saw that, and his response was, woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined. A man of unclean lips, I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Friends, the closer we draw to Jesus, the farther we realize we're from him. If you want this year to be like no other year, there's a call in our life to draw close to him and say, God, I want to become more like you. In the 21 days of prayer and fasting, the back of it, there's a place for you to pray for different areas, different needs you have. And I sure hope that you'd take time and say, God, are there areas in my life that I need to peel away so I can become more like you? So you see God like you've never seen God. 99% holiness isn't good enough. We wouldn't take 1% impurity in our drinking water and say, it's good enough. The key truth is this, holiness is not perfection. It's becoming more like Jesus every day. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about becoming more like the Jesus you hang out with every day. Ephesians, it says he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Friends, it's a partnership with Jesus. It's a dance with Jesus. It's a dance with his Holy Spirit that speaks to us and says, hey, there's an area in your life. It's that part where, have you ever begun to say something or do something and that little voice in the ear says, you probably shouldn't do that. You should apologize right now. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. You don't want to say that. You ever had that happen to you? It's the Holy Spirit. And it's that call to become more like Jesus, to be set apart. And the last call is the call to serve. I love it. It says, then I heard a voice saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. See, you will never, he will never force us to serve. But when you see God like you've never seen God, and you begin to worship him like you've never worshiped him, and there's a holy factor that begins to happen inside your life, you become more like Jesus. He came what? Not to be served, but to serve. And I tell you the challenge of the local church. And I pastor one, and I hope that I never get to the place where I become the greatest challenge myself. And that's this. And Rick Warren is claimed as saying this, but a church father hundreds of years earlier said it very similar. The only organization on planet Earth that does not exist for the benefit of the members is the local church. We are not a country club for the healthy. We're a hospital for the sick. We're a bunch of broken people that all come in who need Jesus. Church is not about my needs being met. Church is about, let's go meet the needs of the world. And as I do that, I'll see God like I've never seen God. I'll worship him like I've never worshiped. I'll become closer to Jesus like I've never have. And I'll probably find myself saying, yes, send me. Here I am. Here's the key issue, key truth. We're not saved to sit and soak. We're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. I want to pray over you, but as I do, church, I'm not begging you to come to Encounter Nights, but I sure hope the Holy Spirit impresses you to come. Encounter Nights is not about how many people come, it's how many people come and meet Jesus like they've never met Jesus to start a year like they've never started a year. And I want to challenge, read the prayer book. Download our app or the YouVersion app, whatever your Bible, there's tons of Bible reading apps out there. You can sign up and they'll send you reminders, hey, this is your scripture for the day. But if the greatest reason people grow spiritually is reading the Bible, don't you think it would be a great idea to read the Bible? Anyone here want 2020 to be a year where they see God like they've ever seen God? Anyone want 2020 to be a year they see themselves in respect to God the way that God wants them to see themselves in respect to God? And what about a year where we say yes to what God has for us? Lord, here I am. Send me. Whatever you have for me in my city, in my church, in my community, in my neighborhood. Where am I called to serve this year, Lord? Would you join the journey with us in prayer, Bible reading this year? Let me pray over the ushers will come at that time. Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, we need you. God, as True North Church, as people who come to a building to worship you, Lord, as we leave, the true missions happens. The church is leaving the building in a few moments, but Lord, as we leave the building, help us make the goal this year to become more like you. To see you, to experience you, to understand you, to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.